and welcome to Engine Presents podcast. I'm Gemma Glover, Head of Influencer at Engine UK, and today I'm sat with Ellie Wilcox. Ellie is social media manager at the UK's largest and most profitable fashion retailer, Next. Having worked on the social media team for almost 8 years and in store as a Saturday girl growing up, Ellie is responsible for delivering an engaging social strategy and ensuring her team translates key business messages into useful, needs-driven content for fast-scrolling consumers. Working alongside Engine for 7 years, she has co-delivered a huge variety of campaigns helping earn Next's exceptional reputation for influencer marketing. Today we'll be discussing the future of the industry and the implications this has on brands and consumers alike. So Ellie, there's been a lot of talk recently around the sort of era of the influencer being over. And I saw it the other day in a Days Confused article, and I actually thought the complete opposite. If anything, personally, I feel it's only getting bigger, more inspiring. If anything, more brands want to be working with influencers.
Totally agree. I think for us as a business, we've been doing it for years, but it's only in the last kind of couple of years that it's really ramped up. And I think the wider business is seeing the value in influencers. So we're investing lots more money into it and just kind of becoming much more strategic about the way we work with influencers. So yeah, I think for us, it is not dead.
Yay.
Good to know.
Good for you as well. I'd love to sort of like, you know, rewind back to say 10 years ago when we first even brought up, you know, working with influencers, or at the time they were called bloggers. And, you know, I guess the process was, you know, there'd be a new collection and we'd say, right, let's send that dress to that blogger and get
send
her to
blog. Send
the
same dress to 20 influencers.
Yeah.
And do you remember them all to post about it?
Or I think there was a time when we said, wear that dress 5 different ways and yeah, they all got to do it.
There was a whole thing called Dress 7. I don't know. There was some kind of name that everyone used to use, and it was like a thing where everyone would wear like one coat, the same coat, but like 10 people would wear it. And then they'd all be part of the same collaboration.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were loads of things like that. But obviously it was the blind leading the blind back then, wasn't it?
So. Yeah. And I think it's so interesting. So we've seen influencers, you know, the likes of Lily Pebbles or, you know, Lily Melrose, you know, we've seen them grow.
Five inching up.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
Back in the day.
And, you know, we've seen them grow from, you know, say a smaller following and now becoming some of the leading influencers. And I just think we've gone on that journey with them, but they've also gone on our journey as well. And I think it's an amazing, incredible journey we've gone on.
Yeah.
And it's only sort of inspiring us to understand more of how we can work with influencers in more exciting ways.
I think back to when we first started, we'd be sending out a kind of blanket email and, you know, asking them to do things for free. And I think that was fine. And that's what everyone was doing. And it's sort of established itself a bit more now. There's rules and regulations and there's processes that you have to follow. And you understand that this is an actual job. Not that it didn't feel like a job back then. And, you know, everyone's got to earn their way. But I think now there's some serious money in it. So it's kind of really focused our efforts on how to work with influencers and the right ones and who's right for our audience. And, you know, it's changing.
And I definitely think there was a time when we weren't paying them and we were able to get some great social content. But then there was a period where we realised we can't just keep getting this content for free. You know, it's photography money, it's their job. You know, now it's a job, it's a time. And I remember trying to say to, you know, we now have to pay them, you know, there's more of a strategic, you know, way we have to work with them. And it was a bit difficult, I remember, at the start.
Yeah, because it felt like the unknown. It was sort of, it felt a little bit seedy paying people to do something. I know that sounds weird now because obviously it is completely like valid and legit. But back then it felt a bit weird, like paying someone to do something for you. So there was a bit of a process. But as soon as that then became the norm, obviously the wider business understood that that was part of a legitimate relationship with influencers, it became normal.
Do you think there's been any sort of hard things to sell in as a wider business? Has there been anyone sort of saying, oh, you've spent X, Y, and Z on influencers and they've want to see a return in investment?
Luckily, no. I think we have been lucky because influencers isn't an area that a lot of people at Next know, not that they don't know a lot about it, but they don't know the ins and outs of it. So luckily we've been left to our own devices in a way because we are the experts and we know, we work with you guys for a start. You know, we're not kind of just making stuff up and doing what we want. You guys are our agency who we've worked with for 9-10 years now. So they trust us to know what we're doing, and we're working with you on strategy to make sure that we're meeting the objectives in the right way, working with the right people for the right reasons. So we've not had any resistance from the business. If anything, now they're coming to us saying, we really want to spend XYZ to achieve this objective. Who should we be working with? And they're coming to us. And then obviously that means that we work together even more to try and make recommendations for all different types of campaigns now. It's not just my, like the social media team who are working on it. It is now paid social and, you know, brand. Everyone wants a piece of the pie now.
And that's so exciting, especially for us as well. And I think what's different now is there's so much of a, I guess, there's a clear process of how we work with influencers. You know, it starts by a thought, a strategic thought, a reason. And then I think that's why now people are now understanding the benefits and the reasons why we work with influencers, because it starts with this strategic thought. Then we start suggesting the influencers, then the influencers become the creative.
Yeah.
So I think nowadays, you know, we have to start off with, okay, why are we using influencers? What can they bring to the table? And work alongside you guys to understand from a business point of view, what guys do you need? And I think that also comes with, you know, we work with influencers because they are the content creators. You know, I think when you scroll Instagram and you see a post from a brand, you're probably less likely to engage.
It's not going to excite you in the same way, is it, really? And I think that's the problem we're up against, because if we tell someone something's good, probably not going to believe us because we're biased. So we need influencers to validate what we are trying to tell people and add authenticity to whatever message it is we're trying to convey. So they're our spokespeople, essentially. So we've got to build those relationships. We've got to they've got to learn and discover our brand to understand what it is that makes it good. They've got to believe that it's good in order to make a recommendation to their followers. So the fact that they are making those recommendations to shop whatever it is from Next or brands or whatever that we're selling, it's making our lives much easier, but also it's going to open it up to a new audience.
Absolutely. And I think there are two words you said there that were really relevant. So I think authenticity and relationships. And I think authenticity, you know, we've heard from influencers before, that is the absolute key thing for influencer marketing. Mm. You know, we have, you know, a set of ambassadors that we know are Next shoppers. You know, they do go out to the shops, buy their, you know, kids' clothes or whatever it may be. And that is why we work with them. You know, they have to have a sort of an affinity with the brand.
Yeah.
First, you cannot just work with an influencer with no relationship to the brand, otherwise it's going to feel extremely addy.
Yeah, no cold calling. I think that's what we've realised. Like we've obviously had to test and learn with loads of influencers, and we've worked with people who were maybe not right for our brand or our audience. And our main objective now is to work with influencers who are relatable, who our audience feel represented by, essentially. They see themselves in them. So we've essentially kind of got it down to a really good core crew now who we know do well for us, and the ambassadors that we've signed up for sort of longer term partnerships are exactly those people. So we've had to kind of go through the motions. I don't think we've made any mistakes over the way. I think like we've worked with some amazing people, but even people who are super aspirational and probably pitted a little bit too high for Next, like we've got to understand who our core customer is. And you know, it is a huge demographic. It's 25 to 55, like it's a big market, so it's hard to tick all the boxes. But I think working with people in a longer term sort of relationship basis is the best way. Yeah.
And I think, you know, coming on to that, you know, how we've I guess evolved the way we work with influencers, that is definitely our approach. And when we did the panel talk a couple of weeks ago, you know, I definitely think that's what they all said. They would rather work with brands over a longer term partnership. You know, those sort of one ad hoc piece of social
flash
content
in the pan
does not work.
No point. No.
And I think we've seen that in the way we work with influencers. You know, look at our ambassadors, you know, the engagement, the stats we're getting from them is absolutely incredible. You know, the swipe ups they get on their stories. And that's because they're posting content over a 6 month to a year period. And then their followers are more engaged in their content. You know, I've seen it when, you know, an influencer posts a, you know, one piece of content, and you can tell their followers can tell they've been paid, and that's okay to an extent, but I think they resonate well with influencers that mention brands
consistently
across a longer term partnership.
Yeah, and we want to create that affinity, and we want, I think, a common misconception with some brands, and definitely something we've made mistakes on in the past, is that our audience know who influencers are, because But like I said before, like our customer base is huge. We can't assume that they're going to know who our ambassadors are. So the more we can work with them, the more frequently they appear on our socials, the more they're going to be like, oh, I remember her from like loving her skirt last month or whatnot. If we can keep that going, they're going to start thinking of them as an extension of our marketing, which is essentially what they are. Or what we come up against a lot is people thinking they're models. And they're like, oh my God, this is revolutionary. Yeah. Like, you know, using real women, which we are, but obviously they're not quite understanding the difference between influencers and models, but that's just an education thing that will happen over time.
But I think that is another point. You know, these influencers are real women, they're relatable. That's why people love them and are so engaged with them. You know, they trial these products, they wear these brands, whether it's beauty, fashion, home, whatever, you know. And that's why now, you know, if you're, I don't know, buying a new house or want to do up your living room or you're going on a night out, whatever it may be, you do now probably go to them rather than, I hate to say it, magazines. But I still feel like there's a place for, you know, magazines, PR, but social
is so easy. And I know, like, obviously there are lots of publications that have their own social channels, and a lot of journalists now are influencers in their own right. So I think, like, that's how that kind of area is progressing. But you need to think of, like, shopping behaviour. Like, no one's going to buy an entire outfit from Next, or no one's going to fit out their whole living room in Next. I mean, I'm sure there are people that do that, which is amazing. But you're going to want to go to influencers who you know are going to be wearing multiple brands, because you're getting a much more objective view of someone's style rather than like a completely full head-to-toe look.
Absolutely. And I think on that point, you can't necessarily force an influencer to wear one brand or talk about that one brand. And I think that comes back to a point of sort of, you know, the biggest misconception of influencers. You know, these influencers, you know, this is their job now. They've worked hard to build up that following. I think I saw the other day, you know, a conversation around brands say not paying enough money for certain posts. But I think, you know, it's a job. It is a job that brands are now realizing are integral part of a brand strategy. And I think the misconception is that the influencers go out, take a picture, it's super easy. You know, there's no sort of hard work in it at all, and then they take a picture, post, done. And
how long does it take to put a post on Instagram? Opposite. Obviously no one sees what goes on behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
No one sees the mountain of clothes that they've got to sift through to try and work out what, you know, they're selling through their outfits. That's making them money. They're getting affiliate, you know, links on their stories and stuff. They've got to make sure those outfits are bang on. So even though it probably does seem materialistic to some people, it is a full-time job. And when you're working from home on your own a lot of the time, it must be quite a solo sort of existence in a way. And, you know, it's all on you to be motivated and be your own boss. And I think that is really hard. And also, when do you turn off? Never.
And that's the thing, social media, I guess you never really do. But I think what's incredible is, you know, these influencers have built up this incredibly amazing, strong following that they're like their online best friend. I think you look at someone like Mrs. Hinch, who's gone from 600 followers, you know, over a year and a half ago to over 2 million. And she's, you know, created a page where people basically love cleaning now. And I think it's just that through her, you know, working incredibly hard and keeping those good relationships, I think she has one of the highest engagement rates ever of an influencer, which she's worked hard to create that. You know, she does not just wake up in the morning and post a couple of stories and that's it. And I think we've also realised that in the way we work with them. You know, a couple of years ago, we might have said, oh, can you take that photo, post it the next day, you know. But now we understand there's a brief, there's a process.
There's a message, there's a hook. Like, it's obviously got to be, it's got to kind of be in line with our objectives, but it has also got to fit in with their actual lives and be relevant to what it is that they might be doing or dressing for, or, you know, they might have guests coming over for Christmas. It's got to be real life things that real life people can relate to.
Absolutely.
So it's not just like, you know, we want you to post this because it's something we want to promote. We need to think about it a bit more strategically and over a longer period of time rather than just like, oh, can you do this tomorrow?
Yeah. And I think that's where also, I guess, the industry's changed a bit. You know, a couple of years ago, you would have seen a beauty product or whatever it may be in the image and, you know, standing next to it going, this is what I use every day. Whereas I think nowadays, and I feel like this is where maybe the influencer industry's moving towards, is more meaningful, you know, relatable, and there's a message behind it, their content. You know, it's not just I'm using this product and that's it. You know, I think we're trying, especially with you guys Next, you know, we're really trying to home in on, okay, so how does that make you feel? Why are you wearing that? You know, the story behind it. And that's where I think it isn't just a social media post, it becomes more.
Yeah, and I think for a brand, emotion and meaningful content is really difficult to convey because, like, I think customers just assume that, oh, why are you the expert for a start? Why should you be telling me about how I should feel? It's not something we can really weigh in on. So I think it's essential that we use influencers who are known for that sort of content, who create value, or, you know, content with value and meaning, to allow us to be able to tell a story that, again, is related to them in some way. I think they're the only way we can do that in a really legitimate sense without looking like we're just bandwagoning on something.
Absolutely. That's why I feel like influencers like Chessie King, when she did the partnership with CyberSmarts, that was all around online bullying and cyberbullying. And we know, you know, that's a huge sort of area with influencers, you know.
Yeah, also it's a massive part of her life as well, which she's obviously had to deal with. So for her, it was super relevant.
Exactly. And the way she, I guess, portrayed that message was through her platform and through the experiences she had previously. And that's where I think, you know, there are positives and negatives of social media, but that's where I think there's a positive, because she's managed to feel quite a negative message into using it as a positive. And I think even from that, the charity was saying, you know, there's so much more awareness of online bullying.
Yeah.
And I think we have to remember as well, you know, everything is visible. It's online, you know, everyone can comment on influencers' posts, and that's where it can become quite, I guess, daunting within this, you know, mental health space. But I think there's also a lot of power there as well, you know, the influencers can change people's opinions and use their platform as a voice. What do you think of, sort of, is Instagram a negative or positive place as a brand? Do you feel like it's really, I guess, elevated the platform, you know, as it helps you connect with your audience through working with influencers?
Yeah, I think we've been really lucky. We've not really come up against any negativity as such that I can really think of. But definitely Instagram has a responsibility to, I mean, I know they're removing the likes, so I don't really know. I don't think that's going to affect us too much, but I think it will be really positive for influencers themselves, because they're not going to be able to compare themselves as much to their peers. But obviously they will be able to look at things like comments and followers, which are still metrics that will exist. But I think it will force them to create content that they've really thought hard about. I don't think it will be as easy to just, I'm not saying everyone does this, but there will be people that do just chase the likes and they think this image is going to get me serious engagement. But because no one's really going to be able to see it, it kind of removes that pressure. Sort of pressure. Exactly.
Absolutely. I think also going back to sort of the social media platforms evolving and making it into sort of a positive platform, I do think, you know, going back to what are these influencers, you know, technically years ago, you know, they were known as bloggers, and now it's sort of, you know, influencers, YouTubers. But I think a lot of influencers do want to be classed as content creators. So going again back to, you know, post content that you love and you have passion for, not because it's going to get a million likes. And I think that's also where, when we look at reporting and evaluating what's good and what's not, for us, of course, engagement is good, but it's also around positive brand sentiment and what are they commenting on. You know, when we work with influencers, we look at their comments, and are they commenting on what they're wearing, or, you know, what that specific image is, not just saying,
you look nice
and that's it. And I think that's where I would hope the removing likes become more about what you've got passion for.
Yeah, having a conversation, being engaged in a topic, essentially. I know Instagram is all about pretty pictures, but it is also a platform, like you said, to get across some really serious messages as well. So I think it can be used in a positive way, but it can also be used in a very materialistic, this is what I'm wearing today, which is fine, because it's still inspiration for people. It's still going to give someone a tip or an idea, or make them think differently about what they want to wear that day. And if that makes that person feel good, that is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And someone said to me the other day, you know, I think it was my mum saying, oh, because when you put hashtag ad on something, does that diminish, you know, the quality or the level of content of that specific post? And actually, absolutely not. 54% of consumers say that actually when influencers do disclose it's an ad, it doesn't diminish the credibility of that content at all. If anything, I think it makes people realise they've been paid for that content, so they're talking about it. So there's a level of credibility there.
Yeah.
And I think when we've learned, you know, in the past when we've worked with influencers and they've put ad on their content, which they always have to do, of course, it absolutely does not lower the level of engagement. We've never seen it lower at all.
We haven't really. Obviously, we're going to look and benchmark against similar posts, potentially other brand collaborations. Like, we can use that as a bit of a benchmark. Obviously, if you ask an influencer if it changes the engagement, they're probably going to say, yes, they might get slightly less because, you know, it is an ad. But I do think it it's changing. I think people are becoming much more aware. Like you said, they're being paid for that. Fair enough. It's their job. So I think further down the line, it won't matter as much. It's a sort of a slow process. People are learning and understanding that that's part of their job and they have to disclose that they've been gifted or it's an ad. Otherwise, they're going to get in trouble.
Absolutely. And I think that ASM rules and regulations are only potentially going to get tighter. But I think if anything, sometimes that's a good thing because then everyone's super clear. But I think there's always going to be a fine line of, you know, we work with influencers, but technically they will go to Next and shop and buy clothes with their own money. A lot of our influencers do that. So there's a fine line, obviously, when we gift them products. But I think the main crux of the rules are if you're being paid, if you're being gifted, if the brand has a level of control over that content, whether it is using a hashtag or atting or whatever it is, even if it says in that email, please at Next Official, you know, that is having control. So that is an ad.
Yeah.
And I think it's making sure we understand it from a brand point of view and the influence. And I do think the influencers have a level of responsibility, but also so do we. We need to ensure they're abiding by the right rules and regulations.
Yeah.
So is there anything you feel brands are sort of taking for granted when it comes to working with influencers?
Yeah, I think potentially, maybe sort of not necessarily smaller brands, but brands who haven't got as much experience with working with influencers, or even people within businesses like Next. Someone could come to me and say, oh, we really want to promote this toaster, so can you give the Anna edit a toaster and get her to post on Instagram? And it's like, no, we can't. You can't, just because you're giving people free stuff does not mean that we're going to get content from it. So gifting is a whole nother arena, and I think it is part of the strategy for us. And like, we do send out products to influencers most of the time, the ones that we've got a relationship with and that we know are in the market for something. So we're not just giving them stuff for the sake of it, because we don't want to be wasteful, but it doesn't guarantee content. So I think that is a huge misconception.
And that is something that I remember back in the day I would always say to you guys, and I think actually now it's amazing to see you can't guarantee content without paying for them. But also there has to be a brief, a strategic thought behind it. But one thing I do think when gifting does work well is when, you know, an influencer might mention something, or she might be pregnant or whatever it may be, then there's a reason for
us to
say...
A surprise and delight.
I think there's definitely a space for it when it's done well. Mm. You know, I've seen it before when an influencer might say, oh God, I love the new collection that's just launched, and we might send them something. And I think that's when it works really well.
I think it's good PR. I think, you know, that's just what you do, isn't it?
But I think what doesn't work well is when, you know, you send out those awful blanket emails saying, we're going to send you this, please post it.
No.
And I know influencers now just go, you know, I can't stand emails like that, because there's no thought behind it. There's no research. You know, this industry now, it has to be, there's a budget, where we're going to use that budget, and a bit of strategic thought behind, you know, how far that budget goes and who we're going to work with.
Yeah.
And I was thinking the other day, sort of, what's been the most surprising, I guess, side to this journey that we've been on? And I think for me, is actually the power of relationships. You know, we've worked with some of the same influencers, you know, over the space of 10 years. You know, we've taken them on trips, you know, done collaborations with them, paid gifting, whatever it may be.
And yeah, we've gone through the motions with them, but also me and you together.
Yeah. And I think that's actually amazing, because that's why I guess we are essentially, you know, I know obviously you work for Next and I work for Engine, but we are technically together that team. You know, we call us the tripod with Vic.
Hi Vic.
Where, you know, we are together and influencers know us for that. And that's where I think a lot of our sort of relationships and collaborations have absolutely benefited. Not because of us, but our power of relationships and our strength with these influencers.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, again, you know, the PR angle comes in. You know,
it is basic PR, but it is super important. Like, we've worked really hard to make genuine friends with a lot of the influencers that we work with. And I think they would hopefully think the same of us. And, you know, when we've got events or, you know, trips, or we've got budget to work on collaborations, we're going to go to the people that we know and
have
relationships with. Yeah.
And I definitely think there's obviously, I mean, of course we grow them. It's not like we're saying we're just going to work with the ones we have the best relationships and that's it. But I think what it does show is, you know, an influencer can approach us and go, look, I'm thinking of doing this. I would like to work on this. And we will work collaboratively with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the power of our relationships. I think there's definitely conversations I've seen in the industry at the moment where brands are using sort of apps or pieces of technology where it's quite unpersonable. And I think there are brands, you know, that it could work well
with. Some people need it. I think some people probably don't have the help that we have. Obviously, we're really lucky we've got you guys that do the real personal get face-to-face emails, all of that. There's never any blanket approach from, you know, our point of view. But there will be brands who don't have the resource to do that, and they might have to rely on platforms to do that sort of thing. And I think that's fine. It's just that if it's just not our personal sort of choice, I suppose.
And I think we have to remember these influencers are real people, and it's about that personal approach. And, you know, I would say every collaboration has to be tailored to that specific influencer, depending on their audience. And as we've said, our audience is so broad. That, you know, we'll be talking to so many different people and doing different activations.
Yeah.
And I think that's when influencer marketing performs so well, that you can see everything so personalized. You know, I've seen it before on social media where I've gone, damn it, that brand's done something so well. And it sort of, I guess, motivates me even more to think, let's be more creative. Let's get really sort of personal and bring influencers in as part of the creative team. And that's when it becomes really, really exciting.
Well, it's like, we'll ask opinions, won't we? If we've got an event coming up or a trip, we will often like go to some of our influencer mates and just say, guys, we're thinking about X, Y, Z. What do you think? Like, is that a good thing to do? Would you enjoy that? Have you done that before? Is it boring? You know, we want to work on it together. We don't just want it to be all up our sleeves.
And I think there's also that sort of spectrum, isn't there? You know, of you get influencers to talk about the product, that's it. But then you get influencers to be creatives in that process, like the work you're doing with Emma Willis. You know, she is the brand ambassador, and I think she's an incredible brand ambassador because you can tell she's the everyday woman that people can relate to.
Oh, everyone loves her. Our customer just loves her. I think we really hit the nail on the head with Emma, so hence why we're in our we're coming towards the end of our second year. We're in our fourth season of her own collection. I think that is testament to how popular she is as an ambassador, because obviously we started with her on an edit basis, so she would choose her favorite pieces from our existing collections, and then sort of a year into it we were like, people are really loving this, I think we could go to the next level. And then, you know, have her actually design and work collaboratively with our teams to come up with a really cool capsule collection of stuff that she genuinely wears.
Yeah, and I think that's amazing that you guys have done that. You know, say 10 years ago, the thought of that might have not been possible, but I think now, you know, you've basically brought her audience on board, and you can tell it's like incredibly engaging. And I feel like also it's bringing in a new audience and making you guys look, I don't know, just
a bit cooler.
Which I think is amazing. And talking about, I guess, the future and what sort of the future of influencer marketing, I feel like you're already working, you know, with influencers in new and creative ways. What do you feel like is sort of the future, and where is it going?
I mean, it's hard to know, isn't it? Because technology is always advancing. New apps will come out that we think, oh my God, we now need to be on that. Yeah. I hope it doesn't.
TikTok.
But I think, I think the meaningful content will be the way forward, because that is the sort of storytelling element, I think, is where people really want to spend time engaging with either influencers or brands. And I think the storytelling element is easier to convey through an influencer. So it will be interesting to see how we can continue our relationships, conveying the brand messages that we want to convey, but in a really meaningful way that is useful to people. I think useful is the key thing. Like, our objective as a brand is that you can get everything you need under one roof. And there's a lot of people out there who don't know that we sell, you know, things like lingerie or brands even. We have like over 400 brands at Next, not including all of our premium beauty. So there's tons. So I think it's just, we've got a real job to do to get that message out there, but in a way that feels relatable and authentic, and not just telling them to buy it because we think they should.
And that's where, well, the importance of influencers comes in, but also using them. And for me, it's about using them, I guess, in sort of bigger scales as well, you know. My ideal
more 360
scenario, is, you know, getting them on the website, getting them on, you know, the
out of home.
Out of home. I think that's when, you know, I'd love to walk past the Next shop and see like an influencer.
Me too.
And I think that's where we'd hope to be going.
Yeah, I think it is a slow burn. I think, especially a company as big as ours, Next is huge and there's thousands of people working there. So as silly as it sounds, it's a lot of different teams not talking to each other enough. And I think it is just changing the habits and changing the ways of working, which is something we are now doing. And we're all working much more closely. So I think give it a little bit longer, and hopefully we will get to the point where we're seeing influencers in our ads.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. I just think this whole industry is just going to evolve, and it's, you know, when people say, is it going to end? I absolutely don't think it is. And I think if anything, it's just going to get bigger and better and more exciting.
Agree.
So thank you so much for joining us, Ellie, and thank you for everyone tuning in. And if you want to chat about this subject or have any questions, give us a shout, gemma.glover@enginegroup.com. And in the meantime, don't forget to subscribe and keep us updated with our latest episodes.